In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He healed the deaf, mute man. But there were other deaf men, other mutes, he did not heal. They said he has done all things well, but others would object and disagree as they lost their hearing, their eyesight, their speech, their loved ones. Not every leper was healed. Not every bleeding woman was cured. Not every widow received her son back from the dead. He fed 5,000 and then 4,000, but many more died of starvation, perhaps not in Israel, but what about America, Africa, or Asia? He helped people of one region, while countless others were left to themselves. He worked for only 3 years, while men and women and children from countless ages suffer these same exact problems. He can heal, but he doesn't. At least not in the way we think he should. These problems haven't gone away. Perhaps we already need eyeglasses or hearing aids, and even if our eyes and ears remain intact, our body will slow down. We lose mobility. We can't fully function like we used to. We're not as energetic, not as strong, but we are a bit more forgetful. And if we haven't hit that already, we know we will. It's life on earth. And we don't expect some miracle to change it for us. As many funerals as we have attended, we know someday it will be for us. Sin has taken its toll on our physical bodies. Just think about how many different kinds of cancer and diseases and viruses are out there. We escape one only to succumb to another. We are healed through medication only to suffer from side effects. We resolve one conflict, one relationship is at peace while another breaks and falls apart. The effects of sin are many. The greater the challenge, the more we wonder where God's healing is. Where are his miracles for me? Why does he just sit up there and watch everything that is going on without so much as lifting a finger? Like our father Adam, the forbidden fruit can at times tie our tongue, and we fail to confess God's word rightly. And Satan's lies can fill our ears, stopping them to the word of God. This isn't what God intended for us humans to be. Bound in sin and destined for death, we are but a shell of God's glorious creation. And Jesus sighs. He sighed before he healed this deaf mute, and he sighs when he sees you. He takes no pleasure in your challenges. It causes him pain and sadness. He doesn't like to see you struggle or watch you labor through life gradually slowing down until finally you are laid in the earth. He did not create you to die, but to live forever in his image and likeness, holy and righteous. He groans when he sees people starve or killed or those who are incapable of taking care of themselves. He looks at this world and sighs. He looks at your body, your life, and sighs because he sees the root of the problem, sin. Sin has depleted your strength and robbed your mind of its thoughts. Sin has kept your legs from running and your feet from jumping. Sin makes you slow down, lose your hearing, your eyesight, perhaps even your speech. And finally, sin shuts down your lungs and your heart, and you die. So in his miracles, Jesus really deals only with the effects of sin. Healing the deaf mute did not give him the forgiveness of sins or eternal life. Feeding thousands did not restore them back to the image and likeness of God. As astounding as these miracles were, they could not grant eternal life. So the greater miracle is found on Calvary, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, taking your sins upon himself. God died for you. No other miracle can compare to this. He suffers your pain and your punishment. He takes your pain and suffers its curse in your place, so that you might be restored back to the image and likeness of God, free from sin, holy and righteous forever. So why hasn't God removed starvation, hunger, blindness, disease, deafness, death, or any other problem from us? Well, he has. Because his death removed all sin, it also removed all these effects of sin. Problem is, we just often are blinded to it and fail to see it. We are blinded by earthly things. We are too often earthly minded. We think he's just up there looking down and watching without so much as helping us because we forget his cross. We think he won't help me because we forget his cross. We think that he won't heal us, but we must trust in doctors or medicine because we forget his cross. We think our loved ones are dead and gone because we forget his cross. Jesus' sighs are not expressions of helplessness, but of his great love for you. It breaks his heart to see you go through this, to see your body so ravaged with disease and sin. And so he acts by reaching out and touching death for you. And then he reaches out yet again to touch your body. You cannot touch God, but God comes to you this very day to touch you. This isn't some metaphor or sentimental wish. This is a reality. The maker of heaven and earth, the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and to Israel on Sinai, reaches out his hand to stick his fingers into your ears through his word of absolution. Christ doesn't forgive you while remaining far away, but he forgives you by putting himself inside of you. He has unclogged your ears from Satan's lies so that you can hear all the wonders God has done for you, wonders that center on his death for you. He has loosened your tongue by touching you with water so that you might declare his praises in this life and the next. God touches your body. For the word is not simply an abstract thought, but the word has taken on flesh to live among us. The flesh of God touches your lips in the Holy Communion. The blood of God swirls around your tongue to set it free. Here is the joy of the sacraments. We receive them with our physical senses. God did not create us to be a bunch of brains floating around in a pool. He created us as physical, concrete creatures. It's how we live. It's how we communicate. It's who we are. God created us as physical, concrete creatures who now are physically ruined by sin. So God physically came to heal us. And God physically comes to heal us this day in his holy word and sacraments. He physically touches us in baptism to deliver us from death and the devil. He physically touches our bodies to restore them to his image and likeness, holy and righteous. He deals with us according to our senses so that with those same senses we may sing his hymns, chant these psalms, and declare his praises, and bow before him in awe here and in eternity. So these are the miracles that far surpass the miracles found in the gospel. This is why Christ commanded the crowds not to tell anyone. He didn't want them to view him only as a miracle worker. He didn't want them to think he had only come to open their ears and mouths in this way. But he had come to remove from them death, sin, and destruction by his forgiveness. So these miracles could not restore the body or the soul permanently. They pointed ahead to the place where Christ would restore all creation. So he wanted them to focus on that better miracle, the forgiveness of sins. The earthly minded will view the forgiveness of sins as secondary. The heavenly minded wants that forgiveness this very day. The earthly minded want Christ to show his power by healing their bodies so they have a great testimony to the world. And when he doesn't, they wonder where God has been. The heavenly minded praise God for healing their bodies through the forgiveness of sins. The earthly minded want a healthy body right now, while the heavenly minded want Christ to touch them through his holy sacraments, for that is how he gives them a healthy body for all eternity. You have problems. They come, they cause you to sigh and groan, and you can feel helpless. But Jesus looks at you. He too sighs. And then he reaches out his divine hand to touch your physical body, to restore you to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.